Nuclear power has had a bit of a glow up. There was a time where visions of Chernobyl, concerns about storing spent nuclear waste. Minnesota has had a moratorium on new nuclear power plants for more than 30 years now. But all of the candidates for governor have expressed to different degrees an openness to changing that, which is really remarkable. And I wanted to get some insight as to why nuclear power is much more palatable today. I've always thought that the environmental benefits of having a zero greenhouse gas emission power source and a reliable power source like nuclear was worth the trade-offs. But the trade-offs are pretty significant, trying to figure out where to put this spent nuclear waste. So to get that insight, we're turning to Professor James Coleman for the University of Minnesota. He is a professor of energy law and an expert in nuclear. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. It's great to be here talking with you.
What do you think the main reason for the glow up, for the positivity and the openness to nuclear plants in Minnesota? What is this about?
Well, I think it's about two main things. One is a focus on reducing our carbon emissions. And so I think that has simply grown over time. And I think that has made people take a second look at nuclear energy. If they're coming from a green or environmental perspective, looking to get us to a zero carbon energy system, I think most models would suggest if you want to have zero carbon, you're going to need nuclear as part of that. And then I think the second big thing that's moving things is that for decades, we've had stagnant energy use. So there hasn't been that much need for big new sources of energy. We've added a lot of solar and wind to the grid, et cetera. And that helps, you know, us retire maybe older plants. But there hasn't been a need for really big, massive new sources of energy. But we've seen an increased demand for electricity. Part of it is data centers, but there's also other parts of it like electrification, electric vehicles, et cetera. And so I think that's creating more interest in nuclear. Okay, maybe we need some big new sources. And if we want those to be carbon-free sources, then you're often talking about nuclear.
Is there a sense that we're never going to quite get there with wind and solar, that it's just not enough for the energy demands that we have?
Well, yeah, we are getting to a little bit more difficult place. There is certainly an abundance of wind and solar, and we've added a huge amount of that to the grid. And that's really true across the country. And we found ways to add even maybe more than we expected in the past, because we've been able to find ways to manage the problems that solar and wind create in terms of, you know, you can't decide when they go on and off, and the grid has to always exactly balance how much power is being used by millions of users every time they flip on their light switch or turn up their electric heat or their air conditioning with what is being provided by those plants. So that's always been known to be a problem. We found ways to manage it to some extent, but we've kind of added some of the easiest solar and wind to the grid. It's going to get more challenging as we want to say, okay, it's not enough to just have 20% of our electricity come from these renewable sources. We want 100% to come from zero carbon sources. That's where nuclear becomes a big part of the conversation.
James Coleman is with us from the University of Minnesota, a School of Law. So there are trade-offs here, right? I mean, I think we can argue about whether the environmental concerns with dealing with the waste are overblown or the safety concerns are overblown, but they are real issues to be grappled with, right?
Yeah, I think there are a number of issues. I would say that the one that's been the biggest challenge for nuclear power in the United States has simply been cost. So If you, honestly, we have over the last 20 years basically been adding three kinds of power sources to the grid. We've been adding wind power, solar power, and natural gas. And that is, although we've seen rising electricity prices recently, if you look at a global comparative perspective, we have pretty cheap electricity here in the United States. We're relatively fortunate. And so you can build a pretty low cost system out of basically solar and wind when they're available and natural gas to back up that solar and wind when it's not available. The challenge is that that is not a zero carbon system because you have a bunch of natural gas. So if your goal is I want zero carbon, then you need to find some big other sources that can run when the sun is available, when that wind isn't available. And that's where nuclear really steps in.
The politics of this are quite interesting as well. And we've seen the Trump administration has really stepped on the gas with the idea of saying, like, let's get new nuclear power plants online. But the Biden administration was also saying, if we're going to meet the energy demands, which I think I've read were 15 to 20% more than the energy that we need today, for the reasons you expressed, that, you know, to have the Biden administration and the Trump administration both saying, like, nuclear probably needs to be a part of the equation. We're seeing that play out even in the governor's race here in Minnesota, where Lisa Daymuth, the Republican, has been very outspoken about the need for nuclear. And Amy Klobuchar, the DFL candidate, also has said, she's like, I'm not 100% sold, but I'm very open to this nuclear conversation. You would have never guessed this even 5 years ago, that we would be looking at both Democrats and Republicans saying we probably need some of this.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, what's changed, even if you go back to President Obama, he proposed a clean electricity standard that would have given some credit to nuclear. But I think what has changed to some extent is the urgency of the question. And so what you see is not that politicians are saying, well, in theory, I'm in favor of it in this, but really, let me step in and address what the, you know, permitting challenges are. Let me address the financial challenges. Let me do what it takes to ensure we actually get some more nuclear on the grid, really, because for the most part, we haven't had any nuclear power plants added since the early 90s. And so nuclear as a percentage of our electricity production has basically stagnated. So, you know, if you divide U.S. electricity production into fifths, you get 2/5 from your biggest source, which is natural gas. Then you get another 1/5 from coal, and then you get 1/5 from nuclear, and that's just been stagnant, and then 1/5 from renewables, and that's going up. But I think, you know, you take 3/5 there, they're all from carbon-based fuels. So if you want to reduce our carbon emissions, yeah, you're concerned about climate change, you need to have something to fill that gap, and it won't just all be renewables.
Do you think that people have gotten over sort of, I think we're both probably around the same age, that vivid memory of Chernobyl was, yeah, I think, a lingering political reality that nobody wanted the next Chernobyl in their backyard. Do you think it's different today, that maybe people can see, like, you know what, it would be good for Minnesota to lead the way in the next generation of safe nuclear power?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a generational story here. And, you know, in reality, if you look at some of the biggest environmental groups, one of the things that they sort of grew up in opposition to were nuclear power and hydropower. And, you know, it's changed a little bit because, as people have said, well, wait a second, now our number one environmental issue is, you know, we still maybe have concerns about those. But if our number one issue is climate change, well, those are sources of zero carbon energy. And so, you know, maybe we need to take another look at those. And I think, you know, I think there's a difference between, you know, what sort of the person on the street or the students that I get. I agree with you. Like, the sort of generation coming in, they're often much more excited about nuclear power. And then, you know, those environmental groups, it might take a little bit longer, because keep in mind, you know, often that older generation, they're often the people who are, you know, maybe running, maybe big donors, et cetera.
Yeah. The activists who are going to be at the meetings, who are saying,
change everything on a dime. And so I think it's been a slow process, but I think what you're seeing now is it work its way into, you know, even the Democratic Party. I think many Democratic Party members having a more positive view of nuclear power.
There's no perfect power source, right? Like, there are always trade-offs. And if you are concerned about climate change, then this is what you look at. If you are, your number one concern is, where are you going to store this stuff? Well, we still don't have great solutions to the storage issue, do we?
No, we don't. And I think that's both true and an important issue. But I also think it's important to note that this is the way humanity is. If you asked us to fully figure out how we're going to decommission every part of every industry we build before we started it, we'd never build anything. And, you know, I think, wind turbines, it's a challenge. Like, how do we dispose of these blades? They're not, can't really, we've had problems with trying to recycle them, et cetera. It's a big challenge. And so I think, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily change the sort of economic or health case for nuclear. You know, I always think There's a site called Our World in Data, which basically just provides sort of public data on all these. And of course, you know, they're relying on hundreds of studies, and those studies may, you know, there's probably disagreement among those studies. But they would say, you know, solar is probably our safest source. It's very difficult to get killed with solar power. And nuclear is right behind there, you know, even safer than wind that has, you know, this definitely, height problems, right? That it can be dangerous to work on those projects. Whereas, you know, something, the biggest health problem that we typically have from our electricity system is from air pollution. It's not even just from climate change. It's the air pollution associated with, you know, coal power plants, et cetera. And so, you know, I think in from that perspective, nuclear power, this is why, like, from an engineer's perspective, if you're trying to, you know, get the most power, the maximum safety, you would often look at nuclear as a good potential solution.
Really great stuff. Really great insight. It's fascinating to watch how public opinion shifts as priorities change and our needs change. And that's just smart. Like, it's nice to see areas of our world where people are changing their mind based on the world changing. People seem so locked into what they think about everything, James.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
James Coleman for the University of Minnesota, a School of Law, professor of energy. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for being with us, James.
Thank you so much. Wonderful talking with you.
All right. Really interesting stuff. 4:48. We're going to break in a minute. The ethical challenge that I shared earlier. So many texts coming in about my cucumber in the cart. You already paid for your groceries and you realize you got one thing left in the cart. What do you do? I'll share your thoughts and tell you what I did when we come back. 651-461-9226.